Corrine Hollett is campus pastor at the Lutheran Campus Center in Winona, Minnesota. She wanted us to know that she will be welcoming a baby in February 2024.
Oh, I'm so glad to be with all of you. I really do enjoy coming here and just soaking this community in. So thank you for inviting me back. I'll admit it, that when I first read the sixth principle, I thought it was more a lovely dream than an actual possibility. And that surprised me, my own reaction, because if there is a group of people coming together, believing in something like the goal of world community with peace, liberty and justice for all, I'd usually and hopefully want to be in it. I think something has been happening, though, in the last 40 years or so. That's the number of years I've been on this planet. I think that even as I've desired and still do desire to be part of something, aspiring to work for peaceful, fair, and free world. And even as I witness glimpses of this unfolding, I've also experienced, known, and learned about terrible things. Abuse, manipulation, famine, war, disregard for human life, greed and apathy, valuing power and money over people and love. And to be honest, in the midst of devastating stories, as you shared this morning from coming from Gaza, it feels impossible and a bit naive to believe in. But then I wondered, what is principle anyway? What is a principle? How is a principle understood in the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship? So I went to the source and I found my way to the Unitarian Universalist Association website. And principles, it turns out, are not, as the Reverend Barbara Wells Ten Hove explains, dogma or doctrine, but rather a guide for those of us who choose to join and participate in Unitarian Universalist religious communities. They're strong values, they're moral guides lived out within this living tradition of wisdom and spirituality, and they're drawn from sources as diverse as science, poetry, scripture, and personal experience. And dear ones, this led me to the Chronicles of Narnia. Specifically to a portion of the book called The Silver Chair, which I have not actually read the whole book, as far as I can remember, that one. But I carry a part of that story from The Silver Chair with me pretty much all the time. I return to it and refer to it often. I can close my eyes or touch my heart and remember Puddleglum's wisdom. In times in which I feel overwhelmed, in times of uncertainty, in times of, boy, this all seems naive and ridiculous, I hear Puddleglum's voice echoing within me. So I want to share part of that book with you. And I had a really hard time cutting it out, so it's kind of long, but I think it's worth it. And to set the scene, the witch, who is also known as the queen, is attempting to lull some Narnians and the children into letting go of their principles and trusting only in what she is saying. Letting go of Narnia, this land in which they live, and Aslan, a lion that the author C.S. Lewis has representing God in his stories. So the queen is thrumming an instrument near a fire, enchanting them. She's manipulating them by asking these little questions, little by little, making them to feel foolish. And as if they've dreamed up everything that they've ever known or held to be true, beginning with the very land from which they've come. So here we are now. "Narnia," said the witch. "There is no land called Narnia." "Yes, there is, though, ma'am," said Puddleglum. "You see, I happen to have lived there my whole life." "Indeed," said the witch. "Tell me, I pray you, what country is it?" "Up there," said Puddleglum, stoutly pointing overhead. "I don't know exactly where." "Don't be silly," said Scrub, who was fighting hard against the enchantment of the sweet smell and the thrumming. "As if you don't know, it's up above, up where you can see the sky and the sun and the stars. Why, you've been there yourself. We met you there." "I cry you mercy, little brother," laughed the witch. "You couldn't have heard a lovelier laugh. I have no memory of that meeting, but we often meet our friends in strange places where we dream, and unless all dreamed alike, you must not ask them to remember it." Skip ahead. This time, it didn't come into her head, the child's head, that she was being enchanted, for now the magic was in its full strength. And of course, the more enchanted you get, the more you feel that you are not enchanted at all. She found herself saying, and at the moment it was a relief to say, "No, I suppose the other world must all be a dream." "Yes, it is a dream," said the witch, always thrumming. "Yes, all a dream," said the girl. "There never was such a world," said the witch. "No," said Jill and Scrub, "never was such a world." "There never was any world but mine," said the witch. "There never was any world but yours," said they. Puddleglum was still fighting hard. "I don't know rightly what you all mean by a world," he said, talking like a man who hasn't enough air. "But you can play that fiddle till your fingers drop off, and you still won't make me forget Narnia. And the whole overworld, too. We'll never see it again, I shouldn't wonder. You may have blotted it out and turned it dark like this, for all I know, nothing more likely. But I know I was there once. I've seen the sky full of stars. I've seen the sun coming up out of the sea of a morning and sinking behind the mountains at night. And I've seen him up there in the midday sky when I couldn't look at him for brightness." At this point, the children and Scrub begin to remember, but the witch thrums even more and asks more questions in a very gentle way. "What is this sun you speak of? Do you mean anything by the word?" "Yes, we jolly well do," said Scrub. "Can you tell me what it is like?" asked the witch. Thrum, thrum, thrum went the strings. "Please it, your grace," said the prince very coldly and politely. "You see that lamp? It is round and yellow and gives light to the whole room and hangeth moreover from the roof. Now that thing which we call the sun is like the lamp, only far greater and brighter. It giveth light to the whole overworld and hangeth in the sky."
"Hangeth from what, my lord?" asked the witch. And then, while they were all still thinking how to answer, she added with another of her soft, silver laughs, "You see, when you try to think out clearly what this sun must be, you cannot tell me.
You can only tell me it is like the lamp. Your son is a dream, and there is nothing in that dream that was not copied from the lamp. The lamp is the real thing. The sun is but a tale, a children's story. Yes, I see now, said Jill in a heavy, hopeless tone. It must be so. And while she said this, it seemed to make very good sense. For the last few minutes, Jill had been feeling like there was something she must remember at all costs. And now she did, but it was dreadfully hard to say it. She felt as if huge weights were laid on her lips. At last, with an effort that seemed to take all the good out of her, she said, "There's Aslan." "Aslan?" said the witch, quickening ever so slightly in the pace of her thrumming. "What a pretty name! What does it mean?" "He is the great lion who called us out of our own world," said Scrub, "and sent us into this world to find the prince." "What is a lion?" asked the witch. "Oh, hang it all," said Scrub. "Don't you know? How can we describe it to her? Have you ever seen a cat?"
"Surely," said the queen. "I love cats."
"Well, a lion is a little bit, only a little bit, mind you, like a huge cat with a mane. At least, it's not like a horse's mane, you know. It's more like a judge's wig, and it's yellow and terrifically strong." The witch shook her head. "I see," she said, "that we should do no better with your lion, as you call it, than we did with your son." They're lulled then into repeating things like, "There is no sun, there never was a sun. There is no Aslan, there is no Narnia." And then with a great deal of effort, Puddle Glum steps forward to stamp out the fire and shares these words. But I want to pause for a moment here before we hear those words. Because I feel like we too can be lulled into thinking it naive to imagine a world or a world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. We could be lulled by words, by questions, by events, by people. And I think not only can we be lulled into that, but scared into that. And the lulling to me feels more like a stealthy undercurrent slowly eroding and poking holes into this principle. But being scared into letting go of this principle feels more like an energetic and aggressive tactic, like a determined pursuit to strip away power, our power. And what I mean by power is our agency. Fear, it seems, has become the motivating tactic du jour. I hope I'm doing the French correctly with that. I remember in college, following an election, my friend Elizabeth said of the winning party, they had better tactics. They used fear really well. And ever since then, I've paid closer attention to how fear is used to influence people. And these days, one doesn't have to try very hard to be aware of this. While fear, I think, in and of itself isn't bad, it can keep us safe after all, and has when our ancestors were being chased by saber-toothed tigers. But fear can be dangerous when we are taught or lulled into or bullied into fearing others to the point of no longer seeing their humanity. That's dangerous. That disconnection then sows the belief that this sixth principle is impossible. That one is foolish to think otherwise, and even more foolish to act otherwise. Which leads, I think, to throwing up our hands to apathy and allowing a world we no longer recognize. A world that's not a global community of peace, liberty, and justice for all. But I'd rather be a fool. I would rather be a fool working for such principle and living into this. And I think the same of you. Every time I've come to this community, I have witnessed your generosity for one another and for the world. I've witnessed your curiosity and openness to learning. I've witnessed your love in action, your mercy, your gratitude, hope, and justice. You share stories when you place shells in the water, of noticing the way the leaves dance as they fall in the sun. I've heard you share stories of a beautiful snowy walk or a bird you noticed out your window. I've heard you remember those who are sick, those who are struggling around the world and in our community. You teach your children beauty and wonder, hope and equity. You show up in the world with your gifts, and you create a global community little by little. You live as if this could be true. Okay, let's hear once more from Puddle Glum. This part isn't as long, I promise. One word, ma'am, he said, coming back from the fire. Remember, he has stomped it out. He's coming back from the fire, limping because of the pain. One word. All you've been saying is quite right. I shouldn't wonder. I'm a chap who always liked to know the worst and then put the best face I can on it. So I won't deny any of what you said, but there's one thing more to be said, even so. Suppose we have only dreamed or made up all those things, trees and grass and sun and stars and moon and Aslan himself. Suppose we have. Then all I can say is that, in that case, the made up things seem a good deal more important than the real ones. Suppose this pit of a kingdom of yours is the only world. Well, it strikes me a pretty poor one. And that's a funny thing when you come to think of it. We're just babies making up a game, if you're right. But four babies playing a game can make a play world which licks your world hollow. That's why I'm going to stand by the play world. I'm on Aslan's side, even if there isn't any Aslan to lead it. I'm going to live as like a Narnian as I can, even if there isn't any Narnia. Live as like a Narnian as I can, even if there isn't a Narnia. That gets me every time. I'm sure, I haven't been keeping track of how long I've been going. I'm going to share a quick story with you of like an example of this. So this is, you may have heard this from me already because I love this story too. But several years ago, about 7 years ago, a person showed up at Winona State's campus near the gazebo and then had like a sidekick with a huge cross. And this guy had his Bible out and he was preaching. And one of my students called and said, there's a guy that's speaking hate against the LGBTQ community. And I said, okay, I'll be right there. And so we grabbed our rainbow flag and we grabbed the bag of cookies that is what we called our Tuesday cookie angel brought in that day. And we met him over there, and some other students, as we were crossing the street, were coming the other way, and they turned around and they went to the gazebo with us. And we stood, we didn't, you know, shout back words, but we just stood together as a witness of another way. And which, I mean, that seems kind of foolish, right? We've got this guy like shouting and this big giant cross, and then there are people just standing there. But what happened was, like, more and more people started showing up and wondered, what are you doing here with the rainbow flag? And we could say, well, we don't believe that God hates people who are part of the LGBTQ community. And that was shocking to some of them to hear that from a church. But the real story part that I want to tell you today is with my daughter, who was only 7 at the time. And she started going around picking up these golden leaves that had fallen on the ground. And she was skipping around and passing them out and was like, do you want a leaf? Do you want a leaf? Do you want a leaf? And everyone was so touched by that. And like, do you want a cookie? And even the preacher took a cookie, because who doesn't like chocolate chip cookies, I guess. But that image of Eleonora like going around passing out golden leaves to me is like embodying this sixth principle. What a simple, simple thing to do, handing out golden leaves, but it's that living as if. And so, dear ones, I invite you to keep telling your stories, because you have stories. Keep sharing your principles in the world, because we need them. And keep being you. Keep living as if it could be true. Because it could be. It could be. That's all.